Welcome to the Spin Positive Podcast, where we kick the shit out of Dark Mojo one episode at a time. Why? Because fuck Dark Mojo. That's why. Dark Mojo is negative, evil, greedy energy that is sending humanity to its destruction. And it's our job as human beings to fight it whenever we get the chance. And I hope to teach us all how, because we've got it figured out here at Spin Positive. I hope wherever you are happy and kicking the shit out of Dark Mojo. And if you can answer no to any of those things, pick up your copy of Volume 1 of the Spin Positive Master Series, where you embark on a personal revolution, not only to discover happiness, but also, at the same time, you learn how to kick the shit out of Dark Mojo, and that's pretty exciting. It's kind of a twofer deal there. You can get your copy of Volume 1 and learn more about the Spin Positive Revolution and Spin Positive as a whole at spinpositive.com. My name is Mike Garrett. I'm your host and curator of Spin Positive, and this is episode number 6, titled Mass Shootings. Why are they a uniquely American phenomenon? We're going to dissect that issue today, and before we're through, we will share some ideas of what we can do as Americans to make this unfortunate phenomenon go away. I got to be honest, I wasn't planning on doing a podcast on mass shootings, but when I was preparing the next group of podcast topics, a headline came across that there had been another mass shooting. This one, of course, the last public mass shooting occurred in Lakewood, Texas, at Joel Osteen's megachurch down there. A shooter walked into the church. She brought her kid with her. That's a new development. I think that's the first time that's happened here in America, in an American mass shooting. I guess they're a family affair now, not only for the victims, unfortunately, who have to suffer through these terrible tragedies, but also for the kids as well. The shooters bring them along. The kid got shot and I hear isn't doing too well. And that is fucking tragic. And I just want to say that my condolences go out to everybody involved in that horrible tragedy. It should have never happened. Unfortunately, it did. I can't imagine what it would be like to be enjoying your life quietly and peacefully and all of a sudden have that peace and quiet disturbed by an angry, malice-filled shooter. That's a horrible tragedy and sure, traumatic for everybody involved. And it'll take, I'm sure, years and years for them to get over it. So it's unfortunate. I was doing a little digging and here it is only the third week in February now. It's the third week in February. And already in the United States, there have been 46 mass shootings. And when we talk about mass shootings, what we're talking about are shootings where more than one person is injured or killed. And so far, there have been 46. Now, it's only the third week of February. So, goddamn, that's nearly one a day, right? If you average it out, I mean, 31 days, roughly one a day. So that's crazy, man. Those are crazy statistics. But why does it happen? Why is it happening? Why does it seem to be a uniquely American phenomenon? Nowhere else in the world do we hear of mass shootings taking place the way they do here. So we're going to dissect that today. We're going to unpack a few theories that I have on why that is. But I will say that it is a shame that we have to live in fear of being exposed to such horrors when we venture out in public places. It's a shame, in my mind, that we will always have to keep in the back of our minds, what will I do if a shooter opens fire? My friends, that fear is oppression. It's oppressive to us. All fear is oppressive. That oppression breeds dark mojo, which of course leads to and contributes to the modern mojo mess that we talked about in an earlier episode. So every time that we have to fear or we live in fear over these things, we are contributing to the mess that's dragging us down collectively. So we're going to talk about some things we can do possibly as a society, as Americans as a whole, to overcome and defeat this terrible phenomenon. Now, full disclosure, I am not anti-gun ownership in any way, okay? I own guns. I enjoy shooting skeet and target shooting. I don't do that as much as I like to these days because I'm super busy. And honestly, the guns I like to shoot are just too damn expensive to shoot right now. And I don't hunt because I don't eat meat. So that would just be killing for sport. And that ain't me. But I do own guns and I enjoy shooting. I'm not anti-gun in any way. But I do, even as a gun owner, I believe that there are things that should be done to prevent us from having to live under this impression. Because honestly, I don't want to have to carry a gun everywhere I go for the rest of my life. If you've ever carried a gun full time, it's an uncomfortable hunk of metal. heavy hunk of metal, and I don't want to carry one around, but I almost feel at this point that I need to go out and get my CCW and carry a gun with me every time I'm out with my family, just so in case a deranged shooter does enter the picture, I have a fighting chance at getting my family out there safely. So I am seriously considering that for the first time. Just after I was doing a little digging for this episode, just seeing how rampant these things are and how often they occur. It's not just the headline shootings. We don't hear about every mass shooting that happens. We only hear about the big ones or the ones that affect certain people or places like Joel Osteen's megachurch. That was a unique setting, so that one hit the news. But they happen all over. They even happen in my town. I mean, gun violence, where I live, we're no stranger to gun violence here. They call my town Little Chicago. We have shootings every night. We've got microphones all over town that listen for shots because we have so many shootings. And it's an uncommon phenomenon to not hear of a shooting occurring in our town every day. But of course, those aren't mass shootings. Often those are just gang-related shootings, one-on-one. But there's shootings, and that's gun violence nonetheless. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about why we have to live under the oppression of fear of mass shootings in America. So let's take some time to talk about what makes America unique in that regard. There are certainly other countries that have gun ownership, and they don't experience the level of gun violence that we do. So let's talk about that. And I know that a lot of people, when it comes to the mass shooting things, that they want to look at the Second Amendment that guarantees gun ownership as a birthright. Not every country has that. In fact, there are only 7 countries, I believe, on the planet that guarantee gun ownership as a human right. Yeah, it's a human right here in America to own guns. The Second Amendment states very clearly that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Let's dissect that a little bit. Does that mean that we have the right to hunt and everything else? No. Well, we got to kind of think about what was happening in the 1790s when the Second Amendment was written. And at no time was the Second Amendment constructed and drafted to protect our rights to hunt or to target shoot or any of that thing. It all comes down to protecting the property rights of the ruling class, really. At that time, the state was incredibly fearful of the power of a federal government, and rightfully so. A lot of those folks, that was recent history of all the things that happened in England and those sorts of things. And the states were afraid that the federal government would instill upon them and institute upon them unfair taxation, you know, high taxes, things like stamp acts and stuff like that to fund the federal government, and it would be detrimental to the business operations of the state, and they didn't like that. So they wanted the right that in the event that the states believed that the federal government was acting out of turn and being oppressive to their ability to profit, then they could form a militia and fight back. And that made a lot of sense back then in the 1790s. Wars were fought with rifles, right? And so if the federal government became tyrannical, then the states could form militias and fight against the federal government, and it would be a fair fight. Because rifles ruled the day, you know, when their militia went to fight the government, everybody had rifles. It was a fair fucking fight. Yeah, there was some cannon involved, but by and large, wars were fought with rifles. So the rifle of the militiamen of the state was a fair fight with the weaponry of the federal government. Of course, we know that that is not true today. There's no way for the unregulated or the what they call the unorganized militia, that's the name of it. Really, it comes down to the unorganized militia, which is all males between the age of 17 and 45, right? It would be our job to fight against the tyranny of the federal government today. The states do have militias, believe it or not, or they're supposed to handle that job for us. So the unorganized militia should never have to pick up arms, because we do have a well-regulated militia. It's called the National Guard. They took over the role of the state militia back in whenever that happened, early 1900s or whatever. They became the state's official militia, and then also some states also have something called a state guard, and those are well-regulated militias that the state runs. Now, a well-regulated militia means that it has the ability to form a fighting force on par with whatever tyrannical entity they're trying to fight, in this case, the federal government, and of course, we know that the National Guard has that power. The National Guard has all the same weapons and tools of the federal military. And so it'd be a fair fight. If push came to shove and we had to fight the tyranny, in theory, the state would call upon the National Guard to do so. Now, in all reality, the National Guard is so intertwined with the federal military, that could never happen today. There would never be the National Guard fighting against the federal military because they're basically one big giant entity. So again, that leaves back to the unorganized militia, which consists of all able-bodied males of the state between the ages of 17 and 45. Now, what in the fuck are we going to do against the tyranny of the federal government? We're not going to go fight the American military with AR-15s. It just doesn't work out that way because the biggest gun we're allowed to have in our arsenal is the smallest gun they have in theirs, and they would just pound us. In fact, they would just probably launch a drone from hundreds of miles away and smoke us all with a push of a button without ever putting a human life in harm's way. So that's probably most likely what would happen if, as the unorganized militia, someday we decided to step up against the federal government. It'd be over pretty fast, honestly, but that's okay. We don't fight tyranny today with guns and bullets, not as the working class, not as the unorganized militia. Should the federal government ever become tyrannical, and honestly, if we don't think the federal government is tyrannical already, then we're not paying attention, especially as a working class, because essentially what the federal government has allowed to happen is we now live under a corporatocracy, and really, the working class isn't free at all. Honestly, let's be honest, the only things that are free in this country are publicly traded corporations and private equity companies. And the rest of us, we foot the bill for their activities. We pay their taxes because they refuse to do so. And we suffer under further oppression of the corporatocracy by them constantly paying us lower wages and by increasing the prices of shit just to drive up their profits while we're already struggling and our cost of living skyrocket. So yes, we're already living under a tyrannical federal government by allowing things to turn into a corporatocracy. And maybe that was the goal all along, but it certainly is now. And this corporatocracy is putting the screws to the working class in ways today that it's only going to get worse as time goes on, and we're going to have fewer opportunities, fewer chance for prosperity as a working class. The more freedoms the corporations have, and of course, we know that the government will not regulate profitability in this country at all. So they won't even tell them, hey, you know what? You can't raise your prices just to boost profits when the populations are already struggling. Why? Because the government and the corporatocracy are one and the same. The same people who run the government run the corporations that oppress us. It's one big giant oppressive force. We'll speak to that in this program. I piss a lot of people off when I start talking about the tyranny of the federal government today, but it's tyrannical to the working class. We just can't see it. We don't recognize it. We are oppressively blind to the fact that we are being oppressed by our federal government. The government and the corporatocracy are one and the same. And the people running the government run the corporatocracy. And as the working class, we don't have a whole lot of say in anything anymore, do we? Only corporations and their lobbyists get the say. And any laws that get passed or anything that needs to happen happens in their favor, first and foremost. And if something we want stands to wreck profitability in any industry, it'll never happen. Anyway, today for the working class, for you and I, the unorganized militia and our kinfolk, we don't fight against the tyranny of the federal government with guns and bullets. That'll get us nowhere. That'll just get us killed. If the day comes that we do decide to fight the tyranny, we fight that tyranny in two fucking ways. We stop paying taxes and we stop producing, because the only power the federal government has is its GDP. It backs its power around the world. And if the GDP of the federal government falls, their power falls. That's the power that we have. We have the Second Amendment. Is that the reason why we have mass shootings? Just because we are able to own guns? Is that it? Is that really it? Well, I don't believe that's really the problem. There are other countries out there that guarantee gun ownership that don't have the problem we have. You know, the problem, you know, if you're curious to know who else does that, I was too when I started this whole thing. We're in company with the Czech Republic, Guatemala, the Ukraine, Mexico, Yemen, Switzerland, and of course the United States. Those are the seven countries that guarantee the right to keep and bear arms, basically as birthright. It's too bad they didn't throw in the Bill of Rights that affordable health care was a right, because goddamn, that sure would have been nice. But we get to have guns. We don't get to have affordable health care. That's okay. We'll take that as a trade-off. We'll talk about the health care system and the state of it and the oppression of it in the very next episode. So you'll want to tune into that. So anyway, why don't these other six countries have mass shootings? One of the big reasons why is because they don't have the NRA. The NRA is the single greatest progress inhibitor to stopping the mass shooting problem. On the surface, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, says that they are fighting to keep and preserve our Second Amendment rights, our right to have guns. They're out there fighting the good fight because the government's always trying to take our guns away. And that's really not it at all. It doesn't have anything to do with our Second Amendment rights. They're a political lobby group that lobbies politicians on behalf of the gun dealers and manufacturers of this great nation to ensure that no regulation is ever passed that affects their future profitability in any way. And that's what they really do. They're a greedy fucking entity. I beat the greed drum a lot. I know I do. I'm always beating the greed drum, but it is the single greatest phenomenon oppressing humanity and keeping us from advancing on our evolutionary arc. There's not many things that are dragging down our progress that can't be distilled down to greed, either greed of power or greed of money. It's literally wrecking the planet, and it's wrecking humanity, and it's certainly wrecking our chance of a prosperous future. The NRA is an organization advancing greed, and their greed is all about protecting the profitability of the gun manufacturers, and so that no legislation will ever be passed, so that basically nothing will ever be able to be done about the mass shooting situation. Because anytime any legislator starts talking about, let's do something about the mass shooting thing, let's have a little gun control, the NRA goes, nope, can't do it. We're going to pull our funding from your reelection campaign. And then bang, nothing gets done, because all of our politicians are bought and sold by lobbyists and corporations. So there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. The NRA has weaponized the Second Amendment to stir up people in this country to think that, number one, the government's always coming for our guns, and number two, that we need to not have any gun control at all in this country. And again, I'm a gun owner. I don't want the government to come and say nobody can have guns. But what I do want is for some sort of oversight into gun ownership. I think that's only right. I think that's only fair. If you think about it, I can't drive a car without a license, without insurance, without training. Why? Because my car can kill somebody. That's fucking why. Yeah, your car is a deadly fucking weapon in the wrong hands, is it not? And that's okay. We don't mind that. We happily pay car insurance. We happily fucking get licensed to drive. Well, maybe not happily, but we fucking do it. But when we talk about doing similar things for guns, it's like, oh, we can't ever fucking do that. We've got a Second Amendment right to kill people at our leisure or whatever, and not have any training. I know plenty of people that own guns that goddamn shouldn't fucking own guns. They are dangerous, and one day they're going to hurt themselves or somebody else, even if it's just by accident. But still, you know, there ought to be some sort of oversight, because guns are dangerous weapons. There's a shocker. And maybe there should be some regulation there, but there never will be, because the NRA forbids the discussion. So if we want to have progress, the first thing we got to do is get rid of the fucking NRA and get rid of their lobbying power to hold the ear of our politicians, so that we, the people, can have a voice and say, you know what, we're tired of living under the oppression of these mass shootings. We need some sort of oversight into gun ownership. Even legal gun ownership. Most of these mass shootings that hit the airwaves, these are legal gun owners. These aren't illegal gun owners like the gangbangers that are out shooting people in the streets. They're handling gang business with illegal firearms. That's their shit. But they're not targeting innocent people 9 times out of 10. Most mass shootings that occur with legally owned weapons. So how do we combat that? Well, that's a very difficult thing, isn't it? Because how do you know? I'm a legal gun owner. I have guns. How do you know that someday I'm going to go batshit fucking crazy and kill a bunch of people with my guns? I could walk out of my house today fully fucking armed and go raise hell and wreak havoc and shoot the shit out of something and nobody could fucking stop me. That's hard to prevent, isn't it? I mean, that is really hard to prevent. There's really no fucking way to prevent somebody from just going stupid crazy one day and shooting the shit out of something. There's just no way. Now, there are some things we could do as a community, and I hate to fucking say this because I don't really care for big government. I don't like government regulation as far as like regulating our lives. I don't think the government should be involved in certain things, but there almost needs to be some sort of federal agency. Because it doesn't even work well at the state level. It's been tried. But at the federal level that oversees gun ownership, and I'm not talking about an agency that's made up of cops and politicians. I'm talking about an agency that's made up of mental health workers. Even they, though, they can't go out and they can't analyze every gun owner, right? Even if there is a test to get a gun, you could be totally sane when you buy the gun. You got no issues. Things are going well in your life. You're happy as shit and you just want some guns to go out and target shoot. We have to police each other as a community. And so when a known gun owner starts going off the fucking rails, then because a lot of these people that do the mass shootings, their neighbors are like, yeah, we saw this coming a mile away. It was only a matter of fucking time. In fact, they said that about this last one. Oh, it was just a matter of time. That lady was doing Hail Hitler salutes and all this other weird shit. It's just a matter of time. They say that a lot when these mass shooting happens. So if there was some kind, and this is really the only fucking thing we can do, the community has to police itself, is when something does come up and somebody starts going off the rails, then you get a group of people, say three people. It takes maybe three separate people. That way one person just can't have a beef and go, fuck that guy. I'm going to get his guns taken away. Maybe three people come together. We'll call it the Trinity or whatever the fuck, you know, the Trinity Act or some fucking shit. Three people come together, they go to this federal bureau and they go, hey man, Jim Jones next door, he's fucking acting a fool, man. He's out there waving his guns around, cursing fucking this and that. I think he needs to be checked out. And then they sign an affidavit saying, this guy needs to be looked at. This guy has some issues. Check him out. And then these mental health workers go and they can, with their specialized training and shit, they can go see if this guy's a real threat, you know, because really the only thing we can do is police each other. And we can't leave it up to doctors because a lot of times these guys aren't under doctor care. And I know if your doctor thinks you're going off the rails, they can have your guns taken away. Your psychiatrist or whatever can have your guns taken away. If you're on certain meds or if you stop your meds or you don't follow your treatment, they can take your guns away. So it's not like the federal government has no power to do anything, because we already know that felons can't have guns. The people who are known to be mentally unstable through the right channels can't have guns, even if it's temporarily. So we know things can be done. But then again, a lot of these people aren't under the care of doctors or the court system or anything like that. So it really comes down to us as a community to go, and hopefully whoever it is that's going crazy has enough people in their life that care about him enough to go, oh, he's acting a little weird. Let's get him checked out. That's really the only way this works. There has to be some sort of community involvement to where we keep an eye on each other to prevent these things from happening. That's really the only way this would ever work, or the only way we could ever have any effective stop to these mass shootings. Because again, like I said, a lot of them that happen, whenever they happen, people go, oh yeah, we saw this coming a mile away, but there was nothing we could do about it. Well, maybe if there was something, that's one thing we can do. It's a short-term solution. It's really a temporary solution, but it's something to maybe get us moving in the right direction. That's really all I can come up with. Because how do you stop or predict somebody going just batshit crazy? Anyway, that's one idea. That's really all I can come up with. I gave it about a day and a half's worth of thought. I really don't like the idea of government involvement, but if you've got a better idea, if you've got an idea to add to this conversation, head on over to spendpositive.com and comment on the page for this podcast episode. Every episode of the podcast has its own page there on spendpositive.com, and I'm opening them up for comments so we can all have a dialogue here, because this is a big issue. And I know that other people have ideas and I would love to hear them. So head on over there if you've got an idea and be a part of the discussion. We have to do something because we live in an oppressive fucking world. We are oppressed from every angle. We're oppressed by our government. We're oppressed by our economic system. We're oppressed by organized religion. We are oppressed at every fucking level. And that oppression breeds dark mojo, and then dark mojo causes people to snap. The real problem isn't crazy people, it's dark mojo. So the long-term solution, we have the short-term solution, abolish the NRA, establish some sort of oversight agency or whatever where the community can come together, people can get together and go, all right, this guy's nuts, we can do that. But the long-term solution is to teach people how to be happy again. Happy people don't shoot other people out of sheer fucking malice. They just don't. We've got to teach people how to be happy while living under the oppression of the modern system, because we're a long way from correcting that issue. That issue isn't going to change anytime soon. So we have to learn how to be happy again under the oppression we experience. That's the only way we move forward as a humanity, and that is where Spin Positive comes in. We teach you how to survive the modern mojo mess and thrive under the modern oppressive system. That's what we do. We teach you how to manage your energy to get rid of the dark mojo, to spin positive under all conditions. No matter what happens around you, you're not going to go shoot up a public place or even shoot your spouse or whatever else. I mean, gun violence covers many genres, and mass shootings are only one, because the truth is, if you want to fight the oppression of the modern system, it's an energy war, not a physical war with guns and bullets. We'll never win the war with guns and bullets. And when I'm talking about energy, of course, I'm not talking about fossil fuels. I'm talking about mojo. I'm talking about positive mojo versus negative mojo. We fight the oppression of negative, greedy energy with positive energy. But I know that we're not really ready to have that discussion as humanity yet. But we're getting there. We're not ready yet. And the goal is Spin Positive, and hopefully my long-term goal is if I get one person to spin positive, and then I can help another person spin positive, and another person, eventually enough people spin positive and that it has a collective effect on humanity as a whole. There is this phenomenon called the 100th monkey effect. And when enough people learn a new skill and learn how to do something, then it spreads through the collective conscious like a wildfire, and people just start doing it. And nobody really understands how the 100th monkey effect works, but it's a real fucking thing. So the more people that spin positive, eventually we hit a critical mass to where what we've learned spreads through humanity. Only then, and only then, will we be able to fight the true oppression of the modern system. Because again, it's an energy war. To fight the negative dark mojo that's dragging us down, we have to spin positive. Light beats darkness. I know we've heard that our whole lives, but it's true. Light beats darkness. But unfortunately, as humanity, we've long lost our understanding of what that looks like and what that really means. We touched on it on the episode on the modern mojo mess, and that gives us a good understanding of it, and it's a good starting point to understand what's happening around us. But if we really want to move forward, humanity collectively as a whole needs to spin positive. I hope that happens. I'd love to see that during my lifetime. It all depends on how fast we can make that 100th monkey effect happen. Because when that does happen, what happens is when you spin positive, what spin positive ultimately does, one of the main things it does, is it leads you to what we call your awakening. Now, a lot of people, they hear that word and they go, oh, awakening. Well, it's a real fucking thing, man, because we are under the oppression. We have this phenomenon called oppressive blindness that affects us. We've been oppressed as humanity for so long. We have oppressive blindness. We can't even see our oppression. We can't see the roots of our oppression. And even more important, we can't see how to fight our oppression. Once you achieve your awakening, your full awakening, the blinders fall off and you're able to see exactly where your oppression comes from and, most importantly, how to fight it. And of course, those who have become awakened, they understand and they see things the way that I do. And my goal is to help as many people get to where I am. And I'm not some out there guru type guy. I'm just a regular fucking dude who had some incredible experiences happening, and I want to share them with the rest of the world. Why? Because it's how we move forward as humanity. It's how we progress as humanity. For thousands of years, we've been off our evolutionary arc. We haven't really progressed. Oppressive institutions, governments, economic systems, religions, they've kept us back. It's time for humanity to move forward, and Spin Positive is here to help us. So when you're ready, just know that Spin Positive gives us the roadmap to win that war and beat all oppressive forces without firing a single shot. And I'll be here for you when you're ready. And if you're ready now, find and follow Spin Positive everywhere, including YouTube at Spin Positive Revolution. Subscribe to our channel and be a part of something big, because we are about to begin dropping some of the most hard-hitting and important information that has ever come across humanity, that humanity has ever been privy to, and you won't want to miss it. We're going to start talking about that roadmap to freedom, that roadmap to a better life for all. And you're not going to want to miss it. And I want you to be a part of what we got planned. Also, be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't done so already. You're not going to want to miss all the cool stuff we're going to be talking about here. In the meantime, you can learn more about the Spin Positive Revolution at spinpositive.com. I certainly hope to see you along the way. I think that just about does it for this episode. We're going to go ahead and head off here. Try to dodge them bullets out there and stay safe. I'll catch you next time.